part of the reason, I think, is the frustration on both sides. I think there's a feeling that, you know, things are not moving. Dolores has a marvelous way of putting a good light on everything. I was at a meeting with her the day before yesterday here in Washington on the one phase of the immigration problem. And at one point I said, apropos of what I forget, I said, Dolores, really, you don't have any members in Texas. Oh, yes, we do. So we just had a convention. Well, I said, Dolores, look now, you and I have known one another for a long time. I said, I've been at about 5 of your Texas conventions, and you know they're not conventions, and you know you don't have any members in Texas. Oh, yes. Well, I said, do you have any contracts for us? Well, then she said, well, they don't have any members. They have fictional members. They have these conventions every year, but those are not conventions. They're mock conventions. They're educational and very useful, I think, but they don't have any contracts. And that's what you measure a union by. You can have all the conventions you want, but if you don't have any contracts, you really don't have a union. Mm-hmm. So they've got a terribly difficult uphill fight, and I suspect that Caesar would find that Texas would be a totally different ballgame from California. He knows California. Mm-hmm. That's his native land. Mm-hmm. But Texas is a different part of the world. And he has no, I don't think Caesar has any network in Texas that he would have. He doesn't know the state legislature system. He doesn't know the power structure in the state the way he would know California. So they've been having these mock conventions for 10 years now, but they still don't have any contracts. So it's a tough, tough fight.
Well, they aren't doing any organizing in any other state, are they, as far as you know?
That's one of the reasons that some people in the labor movement are beginning to get nervous of this automatic reliance on boycotts instead of organizing. They consider it a kind of an admission of defeat. Mm-hmm. If you stop organizing and then you immediately go to the boycott, mm-hmm. they wonder whether this is the way it's going to, well, the way it should work out. But I don't know. I have no idea. I couldn't even guess as to whether or not Caesar's going to be successful with this new type of boycott. But I do think that he's in an entirely different ballgame. You don't see Caesar's name in a newspaper from one month to the next. Mm-hmm. And in the late 60s and 70s, you couldn't pick up a newspaper or a magazine without seeing it, mm-hmm. on television. So that's just the changing nature of American society, and there he is. And at the same time, he's a part of a general labor movement which is in trouble, mm-hmm. and which can't help him financially. The auto workers are in desperate. They've lost 400,000 members. The steel workers are in desperate condition. They've had to fire dozens and dozens of staff people. So there's no money around, mm-hmm. loose money. Well, we're getting a long way from your subject, but the only way I know how to talk about it is to put it in some kind of context.
And it's important to me, even if I don't write a single word directly about this larger context, it's important to me to struggle with having some understanding of what's happening now. Otherwise, I don't see how I can avoid, you know, a rather shallow way of dealing with the subject.
Well, it's a big subject. But one of the reasons I put it in this broader context is that even for your own specific project, I think the involvement of the church or the churches has to be seen at different levels, mm-hmm. and to talk about it only in terms of the response of the church to the poor, or what the church has learned from the poor, I think oversimplifies it. Mm-hmm. Because it's broader than that. Mm-hmm. It's bigger, and there are different roles and different functions that have to be played. One other aspect of the problem, which again I would ask you not to print because it's too delicate, is that I have always, not resented it, but I've always regretted it and felt almost insulted when people would say that the only reason that the bishops, or the only reason that I as an individual got involved in the farm worker thing is because these were Catholics, mm-hmm. and Hispanics. I find that very insulting, mm-hmm. Because it has nothing to do with my approach to it. And I would hope that they would the churches would decide to do something on the basis of whether it's right or wrong, mm-hmm. whether the people need help. Now, one reason I mention that is that the farm workers themselves are not above using that approach. They, Dolores can be very racist in her, some of her rhetoric. Mm-hmm. In other words, you almost have to do this because we're mm-hmm. Hispanic Catholics, and I don't like that. It rubs me the wrong way.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty manipulative.
Yeah, it's manipulative, and I don't like to be manipulated. But I understand why the Hispanics do that. They're hurting mm-hmm. some of our own people. We have an Hispanic office down at the conference. Some of our own people will do that. One of them said recently, not in my presence, but mm-hmm. I heard it quoted as saying, well, surely the bishops are going to have to support FLAC in Ohio. Well, maybe they are, maybe they should, but why? Because they're Hispanic Catholics. Don't use that argument. Mm-hmm. You know, that's, imagine somebody standing up on the floor of a bishop's conference and say, there's some workers here and there's Hispanic Catholics, we've got to support them. Somebody say, well, suppose they weren't Catholic. Would you support them then? Mm-hmm. Well, I hope they would say yes, if it's the right cause, you know. Mm-hmm. So I'm at times, even Caesar can, the Hispanic thing is very deep with them. And I don't blame them. I understand where they're coming from. But again, I want to keep my independence. I'm not involved in helping workers just because they're Hispanics or because they're Catholic. Mm-hmm. You take the case of the J.P. Stevens boycott. 95% of those workers are not Catholic. But I was just as interested in them as I was in my farm workers. Mm-hmm. And so that's an element that I'm always a little sensitive to. I don't like people telling me, Hispanics saying, well, you've got to support us because we're Hispanic Catholics. Mm-hmm. They don't do that openly, but Dolores can be quite manipulative on that issue when she wants to be.
Yes.
Kind of an emotional appeal to me. But she knows, I tell her right off, she knows that they're not getting through to me. Mm-hmm.
I want to ask you about one other thing that I don't know if you'll feel like commenting on or not, and here again it's not anything that I intend to use, but I just for years I have avoided listening to or paying much attention to all the stories that people that I know have told me about various unfortunate things that happen with people being forced out of the union, as well as other kinds of stories. And I'm feeling like just for myself, I've got to come to terms with some of that in some way. The most recent occasion was just a few days ago when I talked to Mark Day in Los Angeles. I've known Mark a long time. And he was telling me that the NCR had done a stinging article about the UFW, and that the author, Bill Kentlin, or something like that.
The author of the article?
Of the article.
I don't know.
I'm not sure I had the name quite right, Kentlin or something like that.
There is a name beginning with a K that writes for the NCR from California, but I don't know him.
That he had received death threats and some really nasty calls from Chris. And Gil Padilla, I think rather recently, mentioned about this to Mark and said that the only way that came to an end was when you called Chris and said that they better stop doing that.
Oh, no. I know what you're speaking of. This goes way back.
Okay.
No, the man in question was Jerry Sherry. Mm-hmm. I don't know anything about a Kinsler or a name like mm-hmm. that. Jerry Sherry was the editor of the Catholic paper in Fresno. Mm-hmm. And he wrote probably more stories about the farm workers than any reporter in the history of the movement. And he used to follow our bishop's committee around. He was a good friend of mine, and mm-hmm. frequently he would be around when we were there, and he'd always write a good story about it. He wrote endless stories which were carried in the Catholic press. All of the information in the Catholic press, 90% of it about the farm workers, came from him, because he would send his copy in and it would be distributed to all the Catholic papers. Mm-hmm. He's an experienced journalist, been editor of several papers. He wrote something, I forget what it was. It was sort of a roundup piece. This goes back many years. Mm-hmm. He wrote a roundup piece in which he was somewhat critical of something that the farm workers had done. Mm-hmm. But everybody who knows Jerry knows that he was a full full-fledged supporter of the farm organization, but he's a reporter. He has his own integrity. I forget there were no death threats, obviously. I think that's all nonsense. But he got a lot of criticism. And, you know, in other words, he's disloyal. Disloyal to the farm workers. Well, it reached the point, I don't know whether I wrote a letter or called Chris. I did something, and I said, look, tell Caesar, there's no fooling around about this. If this doesn't stop, I'm going public. I'm going to support this man as the best labor reporter in the country on the farm workers. He's done more for you people than any reporter. But he's a reporter. He doesn't work for the UFW. He would lose all his integrity as a reporter if he wrote just what you want him to write. So I said, call it off or I'm going public. And there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. I said, I will support him all the way and say that you people are trying to manipulate the press. Well, that was the end of it. I never heard anymore. But there were no death threats or anything like that. He just got a lot of abuse saying, you know, you're disloyal. Well, that has been a constant tendency of the farm workers. I understand that. Everybody wants reporters to report what they want reported, but they've got to understand that reporters have their own job to do, and that a reporter who began to tamper with the news would be like these athletes down at Tulane who were tampering with the basketball games. You know, they're in the business of reporting the truth, not just reporting what Caesar wants reported. But what I found offensive was that everybody knew that Jerry had done more for that union. They couldn't have hired a man to write dozens and dozens and dozens of stories that he wrote. But if you were to go through the files, for example, of the National Catholic News Service downtown from the period of late 60s to the middle 70s, you'd find, I guess, 200 or 300 stories by Jerry. And everything that the Catholic community knew about the farm workers, most of it they got from Jerry's stories. They were a very good story, excellent reporter. But I had forgotten about the incident, but I think those stories sometimes get exaggerated in the telling. I'm sure Jerry never got any death threats or anything like that. But what he probably got was a conversation from Chris or somebody in the office saying, you know, you're disloyal, and that sort of thing. It was bothering him, so I forget now whether I wrote a letter, but I remember I did something. And I said, get the message through to Caesar that if you keep going after Jerry for this story, I'm on his side and I'll go public on it. And I'll say that you people are manipulating the press. Now, I had an example of it. This is off the record, if you want to grapple or come to terms with the problems. My only advice to you on that is I think that it's just a false dichotomy that some of them set up, that if you look at problems, you're disloyal. That seems to me very immature. I expect unions to have problems. I don't know anybody that doesn't have problems. Bishops, popes, everybody has problems, and they make mistakes. But they are so sensitive that they begin to interpret any questioning about things as disloyalty. Well, that's crazy. I question the Pope, question the bishops. Why wouldn't question the farm workers, you know? And they have made mistakes. Of course they've made mistakes. That's inevitable. I think one of the worst mistakes they made, although I was never involved in it, but this is one of the things that sticks in Gene Boyle's craw, is that crazy psychological training that they went through there for a long time. That hurt a lot of people. I've talked to some who were hurt by it. It was a crazy, insane sort of thing to have that kind of extreme psychological training. I met one sister in Texas, and she was being shattered by it. And I said, sister, let me tell you, give you a word of advice. I don't know you from Eve. But you either tell them you're not going to go in this program or leave town, because you're obviously going to be a wreck. She couldn't take this kind of extreme confrontational psychological training they were going through. Now, I don't know. I was never involved in it, but I've heard a lot about it. And Gene Boyle knows a good bit about it. He felt very critical of them for that, of injecting that into their training. I just know it's not a federal case with me, but I just, if Caesar were to ask me, I'd say you're wrong. And I think he unquestionably made a serious mistake on the Philippine thing, and he never recovered. That story broke in the Washington Post, just by accident almost. The Washington Post had a stringer in the Philippines who was there when Caesar was there, and he wrote a story, and they put it on the front page of the Post. As soon as I read it, that very morning, I wrote to Caesar, and I sent him a bushel basket full of material on the Philippines from our office, international office, and I said, Caesar, if you are accurately quoted in this story, My advice is that you look for an early opportunity to clear it up, because it's not a good story. He never answered the letter. I saw him frequently after that. He never mentioned it. As you know, in dealing with Caesar, if Caesar doesn't want to talk to you, he doesn't talk. Mm-hmm. You cannot break through Caesar mm-hmm. if there's a subject he doesn't want to discuss. Mm-hmm. He never answered the letter. Then I didn't feel that strongly about it, but a lot of the Protestant groups did. And they're the ones that forced him to convene that meeting. Mm-hmm. And the meeting was a disaster. It was a total disaster.
I didn't even want to be there.
And then that night, see, he had asked me to, he sent Chris down and asked me to sit up on the stage. I said, no way would I sit up on the stage. And I said, furthermore, I'm going to speak from the floor. So I did speak from the floor, challenging these people from the Philippines. Well, then that after the session, Caesar had a dinner in some local restaurant. They took a private room and they were all there. And he wanted me to come. I said, well, I'll come, but I'm not going to be sitting with these people. I'm not going to be there as a patsy. Mm-hmm. I said, I'll come to the dinner, but I'm not going to be at any head table or anything like that, because I don't agree with them. But to this day, he has never once said a word to clarify that situation. Well, I can live with that, but I know a number of the Protestants, they were deeply hurt. Mm-hmm. Some of those people were there. They felt let down. They felt disillusioned. And I think it has hurt the movement, because when people get something like that in their craw, they're not as inclined the next time they get a request to help to do it.
That's right.
But my only point is that I'm not surprised that people make mistakes. I know 90% of the time Caesar's right and he's doing a great job, but he makes mistakes, and everybody does. And I don't agree with Chris at all, although I can see if that's his role, I admire him for playing it. But that night at the dinner following the Philippine fiasco, I sat next to Chris, and I spoke as I'm speaking now. And that it was on that occasion that Chris pulled the line, which I find very amusing, but not very helpful. Well, who are you to be telling poor people what to do? And I said, Chris, come on now. You're a big boy. Don't talk down to me that way. What does that got to do with whether Caesar made a mistake in his statements in the Philippines when he played right into the hands of the Marcos regime? I said, that has nothing to do with whether the farm workers are poor or rich. But that was the end of that. I haven't heard any more about the Philippines since then. But I remember that day I was sitting up in the front, near the front, and there was a reporter there, whose name I forget, who writes for Protestant magazines. He might have been representing Christianity in Crisis. But he asked Caesar a question, and Caesar was offended by it. And then he pursued it, and then on the way down through the aisles, I heard Caesar say this to him. You print that, I'll get you, something to that effect. And this fellow turned to me and said, you hear that? And I said, yeah. I said, don't pay any attention. Print it if you think it's right. But it's that sort of manipulating of the press that I think occasionally they do, and I was determined they weren't going to get by with it in the case of Jerry, what's his name, because I knew him so well and knew that he was a good reporter and had done. I don't think anybody, if you look through the history of this movie, I don't think anybody wrote as many stories about the farm workers as Jerry Sherry did, and they were all supportive. And of course, most of the time he was on excellent terms with Caesar. Mm-hmm. But they took offense at that one story, silly, and they started to, not to threaten him. I think that's false. I don't think anybody ever threatened him. What they did was probably call him and say, what, are you selling out? Are you disloyal to the movement? Or something. When he told me about it, I said, well, I'll take care of it from here on in. And that's the last I ever heard of it. But I was prepared. I said, I'm not fooling. I said, get the word through to Caesar that if you people say anything about Jerry, I'll go public and defend him.
You know, you're the only person that I personally know of who has been able to come be direct with Caesar and the union and not get closed out. Because that's what happens. They're closed out.
Yeah.
And then they have no more access.
No. Well, when the Gilbert Padilla and Marshall and Jerry left, As you may recall, there were some overtones of anti-Semitism in that fight. I wrote Caesar a long letter, 2 or 3 page letter, and I said, I pride myself, and I think legitimately pride myself, on staying out of union politics and none of my business. I've never interfered in any union. I have a certain deep respect for the autonomy of unions. But I said, I think that in this case, you will understand that I feel obligated and certainly entitled to tell you what I think. I said, I don't know anything about the reasons these people are leaving. But I said, if these stories about anti-Semitism are correct, I've got to tell you, you are in deep trouble. And I said, I don't know whether they're correct or not. I don't know whether the accusations are correct or not. But the word is around that some people on your staff are using anti-Semitic language and implications against Marshall and Jerry. And I said, I don't have to tell you. You must know what the implications will be for your movement. If that word ever got around, I said, your union would be in serious, serious trouble. I said a number of other things in that. And then I got a letter many weeks later, which obviously was not written by Caesar. Mm-hmm. It was a letter that was sweated over by somebody, maybe Chris, I don't know.
It was Chris.
Which was, it didn't attack me, but it didn't agree. Mm-hmm. It was one of those rather cold letters. Mm-hmm. Well, I just ignored it, filed it, and that was it. Mm-hmm. Nothing was ever said again about it. But I felt under some obligation to Caesar to let him know that you can imagine what would happen in the liberal media, in the liberal community in general, if the word got out and could be substantiated that Marshall Gans and Jerry were being attacked on anti-Semitic grounds. It wouldn't finish the union, but it would cut off a substantial amount of their public support and would require people like myself, if I had known, if there were something on the record, I would have attacked them publicly. Mm-hmm. You simply cannot allow that to happen. But as you say, Caesar's never cut me off. That's true. I think he likes me and I like him. And I think he has an exaggerated understanding of my power in the church. That's mm-hmm. part of it. I haven't been at the Bishop's Conference for the last 5 years. And when I leave an organization, I leave. I have nothing to do with the Bishop's Conference. They make their own decisions. They have a new staff. They do their own thing. And I don't interfere whatsoever. But I think Caesar probably has the notion that I'm still capable of getting whatever he wants to get at any given time out of the Bishop's Conference, which is not true.
It's probably useful, though. It's probably useful because it means that you can continue.
Oh, yeah.
From time to time, having a voice there that maybe nobody else can have.
Oh, I have influence, but I think he, first of all, I think Caesar likes me. We're friends, mm-hmm. and although he has dropped a lot of friends. And then secondly, I think he feels that he needs the support of the Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. And thirdly, I think he feels that I have probably more power than I do have. Mm-hmm. And fourthly, he knows that I'm close to the labor movement. Mm-hmm. So there's a combination. But I would like to think that it's also that we're friends and he can tolerate my mistakes too or disagree with them. But
well, friendship is important, but my guess is that of all those reasons, that's probably the least important.
Oh, I think so, yeah, because Caesar's dropped a lot of good friends.
That's right.
He and Gilbert were together for 25 years.
Yes.
And bing. Of course, I can understand complexities of it. I felt all along that Jerry and Marshall and Gilbert were making a serious mistake. They would never admit that Caesar did anything wrong. Mm-hmm. They were loyalists up to the hilt. Mm-hmm. And I always thought that intellectually that was a mistake because I said someday there's going to be trouble. Mm-hmm. And then it's going to be worse. Mm-hmm. Then there will be disillusionment again. Mm-hmm. But I can remember very well when I was out there frequently than I am today, they were extreme loyalists. Mm-hmm. You know, Caesar could do no wrong whatsoever. Well, I knew that was wrong. I don't know anybody in his entire lifetime that he would say that about. But the trouble with that kind of loyalty is at least a disillusionment. Mm-hmm. And a number of church people, you know, have left the movement disillusioned. Mm-hmm. Partly their own fault. I think they went in there figuring that they were going to play a role that I knew they weren't going to be allowed to play. You know, Caesar would bring in an occasional priest, sort of chaplain. But the first thing you know, he's using them for all sorts of staff work, and they're no longer chaplains. And I know two or three who left quite bitter. But I think that's the fault of people who leave. The only reason people get disillusioned is that they had too many illusions. Mm-hmm. You know, mature people are not supposed to have illusions. You take life as it comes. And I find that in dealing with the rest of the labor movement, I teach one little course here, a seminar, and the students who don't know much about the labor movement, they can become easily disillusioned because of some Teamster local that did something. So, well, you know any local bishops that have done something you don't like? Are you going to leave the church because of that? You know, you don't judge whole movements by mistakes. You don't judge individuals by one mistake. You balance it off. Keep the cause in mind. Mm-hmm. But that's been a continuing problem in the union, of course. And I think it was foreseeable. I was never under any illusions about Caesar. Caesar is a genius. And geniuses have their strengths and they have their weaknesses. But one of Caesar's weaknesses, I think, was that he never really could work as a collegial team. He was always how much talk there was about collegial collaboration and deliberations, or where there was always Caesar. And that's why I said when Dolores brought her people in my room and said, "Caesar is very unhappy." I said, that's very interesting, but what else is new? Why should I worry that Caesar's unhappy with me? I don't work for him. If you told me that the bishop to whom I was responsible was unhappy, I might have to take that into consideration. But I said, I don't. You know, the fact that Caesar's unhappy, well, that's too bad. You know? But see, that what they were saying then was that if Caesar's unhappy, everybody should be unhappy. I was not surprised, therefore, when I saw people like Jerry and Marshall and Gilbert leave. There were sort of built-in tensions there, mm-hmm. with his style of leadership. Mm-hmm. Well, that happens.
And Jerry did not want to move to La Paz.
Oh, none of them did.
So he wasn't willing to do that. Jerry really, with Jerry, it was his decision to leave. He did not feel forced out, and I think that it was good. But for Gilbert and for Marshall, I think it was very, very unfortunate and very unfortunate circumstances, and yeah. They still are very hurt.
Gilbert is bitter, I understand. I haven't seen him, but I understand he's quite bitter.
Yeah. And Marshall, I met with Marshall about 3 weeks ago, and he did not express bitterness to me, but he might have just chosen not to. But I could see a tremendous amount of sadness.
I think, is more sadness, mm-hmm. than bitterness. He has been very discreet in not talking. Mm-hmm. But Gilbert, I understand, can become quite bitter.
Mm-hmm. Well, Marshall had built his life around working with the union. Yeah. So it was painful, and it is painful. Well, this has just been
Well, I'm afraid it might not be very...